A second reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. When it was evening of that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord. In a lot of liturgies and church language, we refer to being in the house of God. In our call to worship today, we said, "This is God's house." I actually didn't write those words. They were written by Sarah R., who created the poems and many of the prayers we've been using during our summer worship series, Unraveled, looking at stories in the Bible of when people's lives fell apart and they turned to God. I'm sure that when Sarah sat down last year and wrote liturgies for each of the 12 stories in the series, she assumed that they would be read in church buildings. Does it still ring true today to say that we are praying from inside the house of God? Is it just yet another reminder of what we feel we've lost? Is this the house of God? I'd like to share a few paragraphs written by Debbie Thomas, who serves an Episcopal church in California and blogs at Journeys with Jesus. She's written some very powerful pieces on lectionary readings, and many of my colleagues and I are grateful for her permission to use her words in our online services. Debbie writes that in this story, we're invited to struggle alongside doubting Thomas. We're invited to say the heretical thing we feel deep inside, "Unless I see him for myself, I won't believe." We're invited to feel wary, skeptical, and, dare we admit it, envious. Envious of those who find faith easier to sustain than we do. Envious of those who have experienced Jesus more dramatically than we have. Envious of those who, for whatever reason, don't feel a deep cognitive dissonance between the truth of the resurrection and the ongoing reality of death in the world. There's a great deal to love about Thomas's encounter with Jesus, but what I love most is that Jesus appears to his skeptical disciple in a body that is scarred and wounded, a body that openly bears its traumatic history, a body that refuses to hide its suffering, its sorrow, its brokenness. What Jesus sports are not old wounds. They are wounds so raw that the doubting disciple places his fingers inside of them. Perhaps Jesus winces when Thomas touches him. But to me, the wincing signals real life, lived at a level we can comprehend. It signals real engagement, real presence, real pain. It speaks the very words I hunger to hear. I am with you. I am with you where it hurts. I don't float thousands of sanitized feet above reality. Even after death, I dwell in the hot, searing heat of things, exactly where you dwell. In my experience, Christians are expected to put a lot of stock in completed victories. We value the race won, the mountain scaled, the enemy defeated, the obstacle overcome. We welcome stories of failure to an extent, but only when those stories are shared in retrospect, long after the sordid worst is over. Sin that has surrendered to holiness? That's a Christian story. But sin that clings, challenges that won't ease up, a wound, physical, psychological, or relational, that remains? We squirm. We turn our eyes away. We worry. But Jesus' wounded body reminds me that some hurts are for keeps. Some markers of pain, loss, trauma, and horror leave traces that no amount of piety will take away. Some wounds remain, even after resurrection. And that's okay. It's okay to celebrate Jesus' rising and grieve our catastrophic losses at the same time. It's okay to hear other people's uplifting faith stories and say, I'm happy for you, but my heart is still broken. It's okay to ache for more of Jesus and to hold our ache in tension with the joys of resurrection hope. This year, more than ever, I cherish the wounds in Jesus' post-resurrection life. Even though we are a resurrection people, we are still hurting. The world is still wounded. Regardless of where on the planet we live, we are still anticipating grief on a scale most of us have never experienced before. This year especially, Jesus' scarred body speaks with great power, tenderness, mercy, and truth. Allow them to speak to you, Debbie writes. What Thomas longs for is to be with his friend Jesus in his presence. But when he sees Jesus, he realizes that Jesus is not only his friend, but also his Lord and his God. A friend can only exist in one place on the corporeal plane, no matter how many people they can reach over Facebook Live or Zoom. But Thomas knows that God is everywhere. If Jesus is his Lord and his God, then Jesus is also everywhere and is always with him. Thomas is always in his presence, and so are we. Thomas saw the world change with the death of Jesus and was scared that he might lose what was most important to him, being near Jesus. We have also seen the world change this year, and we're scared of the same thing, and many other things as well. But we believe that Jesus is our Lord and our God. And we believe in the realness of the wounds in his hand and in his side. We know that Jesus is everywhere, that he is always with us, and that not even death can stop him. So with that belief and with that knowledge, even in these strange times, even in the midst of disease and fear, even as we wait for decisions to be made that will have huge effects on our lives in the coming months, even as we worship at home from couches and kitchen tables, back porches and craft rooms, computers and tablets and phones, even now, we can declare that yes, this is the house of God. Because God is with us, no matter what.